Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth drama.
Welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N-Word and Miss Brown Sugar. And we, of course, would love to hear from you. So if you can, please give us a call. 347-826-7435 is that call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. You're afraid to call us, you can always email us, smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com. Questions, comments, concerns, we take them there. As well as, if you want to go to our website, www.smoothdrama.com, we have a chat room. You want to jump in and throw in your comments live during the show, or the chat room is open 24/7. So if you put in a question, we will see it and we will come back to you. So there's a myriad of ways to get in contact with us, as well as social media. Social media on Facebook, we have our private group, the Smooth Drama group. You ask to get in, myself or Mr. J will add you to the group. Yes, I said Mr. J. I didn't, not to be confused with the Joker from Harlequin. But
what about Shiny Whisker?
Well, now that you say it, yes, yeah, Shiny Whiskers, Mr. J. See, I wasn't going to do it, but you twisted my arm. And so,
okay.
Shiny Whiskers, Mr. J, or myself
it's
will
so
add
easy.
You to the Smooth Drama group. I know. It's like that song, it's so easy. And basically, anywhere you find Smooth Drama, add us, follow us, we'll follow you back, add you back, and we can talk, converse, conversate, whichever way you want to present it, we are ready to go. Now, speaking of being ready to go, of course, we can't do nothing, Brown Sugar, without talking about the scrumptious apocalypse, right?
Yes.
It's just so scrumptious.
Scrumptious? Is that a word? Scrumptious?
It can be. Scrump.
Okay.
Tilly Unches.
Something like that.
Yeah, okay. All right.
You can never say it the same way twice. How about that?
Right. About that? Okay. It's delicious. It's magically delicious, like frosted Lucky Charms, right? And
no,
so,
just regular Lucky Charms.
Oh, just regular?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, that too. So, speaking of Lucky Charms, we all know, well, if you didn't know, Joe Biden, who is running for president of these United States, has named Kamala Harris as his running mate. Obviously, it's been a lot of stuff, right? It's been attacks from all sides. You know, I mean, people probably think we were attacking. And when I was just saying, hey, there's no real enthusiasm for her, except for she's a woman and, oh, she's a woman of color.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, yeah. So, apparently, Herman Cain, he who died July 30th, he apparently came from the grave to tweet and voice his disapproval.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And what did Herman Cain's ghost say?
Yeah. You know. So, and he says, so let me get this straight. You think the Biden candidacy is going to be nuts, and you're saying this from beyond the graves? No, wrong tweet. Wrong tweet. Because it came from the chain gang.
The chain gang?
The chain gang, chain? Yeah.
The
no,
Cain
the,
gang.
Oh. The Cain gang.
Yeah, like Herman Cain, yeah.
Yes, his death tweet was Kamala Harris, what? That makes no sense. That's a tweet. From the grave.
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, people are really up in arms about all of this political things. And for me, after just, you know, because when you're in your 20s, and I guess for my generation, we weren't necessarily into political things growing up like some of the younger people are now. Like they really pay attention. And I don't think we had to. Probably we should have. And we might have eavesdropped on a couple of our parents' conversations. But nothing has been more corrupt in politics over the last 10 years to me. Like, it's just really been nasty. So, I mean, like, does it really matter? Like, you can't trust any of them, so does it really matter?
Well, no, you can't trust any of them. And it doesn't matter, but it does matter. So we say that they're not paying attention and that past generations haven't paid attention. I would say that it's always been lackadaisical with voting. I mean, one, they don't want to make it easy to vote, because if it's easier to vote, people will vote. It's a funny thing. But you see the way politics goes, they don't want to be unsure about who you're voting for, which is why it's so hard to vote a lot of times. You know, you register, and with the technology we have, it should be really easy to vote. But, of course, and supposedly the most technological, most advanced country in the world, it's not like that.
No.
It's really weird, because obviously they do not want everyone to vote, because then you don't know who they're going to vote for. You can't project anything. Because if you think about it, you always see these pre-polls, whatnot, and I'm a working professional. You're a working professional. We are never privy to any of these polls.
No.
Right. I mean, I might be privy to stripper polls. I've seen those on social media, but I don't get the regular polls, right?
If you're talking about stripper polls, I've been on a few myself, so yeah.
Hey, what? Hold on, you ain't holding out.
You know, I've taken a class. I'm not very good, so I don't talk about it. So, I've taken a class.
You're taking a class. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't have my upper body strength. My upper body strength is kind of weak. You already know that I probably have.
No.
I love the curious. You know, I'm curious. You know, I'll try anything once, so.
We ain't had that conversation about you on the poll, so okay. All right. So now I got something to look forward to. What's your experience on the poll? You can do it.
If I could actually do it, then no, not really. Like I said, I don't have enough upper body strength. Those women, you know, we talk about them, but that's hard work.
Nah, I don't talk about them. I know
no,
it's
I'm
hard
just
work.
Saying, I didn't say you and me. I'm just talking about society, you know, gives them a bad rep, but, you know. That's hard work.
They're expert entertainers.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out for them. Yeah, well, we wasn't on politics. We were just talking. Social media, whatnot. Because this is what's happening in the scrumptious apocalypse. So, for example, woman went to DMV in Tennessee, and when she got her ID, it was a picture of the chair that she was sitting in. But she wasn't in it. Yeah, that was the picture on her ID. So
okay, where do they take pictures of you in chairs, though?
Apparently in Tennessee.
Wow. I didn't even know they did that.
And it could be they're old. So, like, you know, like my mother just recently, and she's an elderly woman, and so she takes a picture, she's sitting down. So that's not really a stretch.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense, yeah. I've never seen that, so I don't, you know.
Right.
What happened
to her?
What happened to her?
Right. So she, you know, she had to go up there like, hey, look, I need another ID. And they're like, what? No, you don't need another ID. It's like, yeah, I need another ID. My picture's not right. And you know how your picture is what it is. And then she had to physically come up there and show them like, look, this is a chair. It's not me. It's like, oh, I got to get a manager to fix this. It's like some people, I need my manager for this. It's like, do you?
You know what, though? I would say yes. At the DMV, yes. I would say you need a manager for just about everything at the DMV.
To take a picture?
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. The DMV people, most of them aren't good for anything but being rude. So that's what they get hired to be, rude.
Yeah, DMV and the post office are like weird places, right?
Yeah.
You know, you always hear about going postal. And it's been pretty pleasant when I've gone to the post office. I haven't been scared in the post office in a while. There was a point in time where folks were just getting shot on the regular or getting beat up on the regular in the post office. And I was like, yeah, I'm just not going to go there. But it's like, you just wonder, is there like some magic hoodoo in the air or something where like you go into the post office or you go into the DMV and it's nuts? The whole land on the DMV.
Yeah, I think with the DMV, I think it's just that they deal with so many people. So I can see where, you know, it would be stressful. I don't know about being rude, you know. And maybe after you've been there for some years, you know, you might be jaded about the whole situation. So I could see maybe for some people. But, yeah, I think those are very interesting
why is it packed every day though? It doesn't matter what day you go, it is always packed.
Well, people need different things.
I know, but I'm just saying. I've always thought that was really, really unique. That you'll go there and it's always gonna be 70, 80 people. At a time.
Well, the secret is not to go to the packed one. So, like, if you do have issues, like, I know a lot of people go to Pleasanton and San Ramon for the DMV instead of going to the ones out here by us. They'll go further out. If you go, I know people who've gone to, like, Lathrop and Manteca to do business. And, yeah, it's a drive, but, you know, I guess they don't mind the drive as opposed to the wait.
Okay, so I drive an hour to Manteca.
And I say maybe they don't mind the drive, but they mind the wait.
Okay, but it's the same because you're waiting to get there. So that hour that I drove all the way out to Manteca is the hour that I'd sit at the DMV.
True, but then you're in your car, you're listening to music, you don't have to listen to other people, you don't have to listen to the DMV people, you know.
I'm not listening to them anyway. I have my headset. I got my MP3 player. I'm grooving.
And look at that. You are prepared. Boom.
Stop
again.
That. See, here we go. Anyway.
I mean, I'm going to count from now on, like, every instance when you're prepared. Like, for real. It's unbelievable.
That's not unbelievable. I have an MP3 player. You don't get a lot of opportunities, I mean, unless I'm riding my bike, to have my MP3 player going. So that's what that is. It's not.
And you are so thoughtful of what you need to do in your life that you're prepared. That's all I'm saying. That's a good thing. That's what a bad thing
is. Okay. So thoughtful. All
you
right.
You need to teach a class.
Thank you, Brown. I teach a class on being prepared. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So if y'all listeners out there, if you want to learn how to be prepared, Mr. F to N word child, you can sign up www.smoothdrama.com. Just go to the website. Either you can email us at smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, or you can in the chat room say, hey, we want to sign up for the Smooth Drama. Be prepared for whatever the hell. Apparently, I'm prepared for everything. So, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
I like the name of the class. Be prepared for whatever the hell.
Anyway, so speaking of being prepared. Well, speaking of being prepared for whatever the hell, as Brown Sugar tries to continually clown me, Don Lewis, the family from Don Lewis, if people don't remember who Don Lewis was, Don Lewis was the guy who decided that he was going to disappear mysteriously and sign all of his money over to his wife if he decides to disappear. I'm speaking of Don Lewis of the Tiger King. So the family, yes, the family of Don Lewis has filed a complaint called a pure bill of discovery. And so the document asked three people, including Lewis's widow, Carol Baskin, for information about Lewis's case. So Carol Baskin, who is MC Creepy as hell, that lady.
I was going to say that you're not saying her name. I don't know if I could say her name right.
Carol Baskin, the CEO.
No, she's that bitch.
Oh, that bitch? Oh, my bad. Let me get this right. That bitch, Carol Baskin, the CEO of Big Cat Rescue in Tampa, who we most of us who saw Tiger King, we know her as the creepiest woman that you've ever seen on TV. Yeah, they're doing that. They're asking for discovery. And so, of course, Miss Creepy as Hell, or AKA that bitch, Carol Baskin, she comes out and she has a statement. I believe it is a publicity stunt orchestrated by Jack Smith to bolster his YouTube views, but do hope that all of the attention from Tiger King and the aftermath will resort well, not resort, result in us finding Don. Because, of course, we're still looking for him 30 years later.
And we're not going to ever find him because he's eaten. The tiger might be dead for all we know.
But I'm going to take a guess that the tiger that ate him probably, or if it's the tiger, my guess is that he got rolled over by a gator. You know how the gators, when they're tearing you, they roll around in the death roll?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that that's what happened to him.
But was he dead or alive, do you think, when that happened?
I'm guessing that he was dead.
Okay.
I'm going to take an educated guess that he died. And it was one of those things, he was breathing air and then he wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what we'll call it. One minute he was breathing, the next minute he was not.
I would agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
He's in the belly of some animal.
Well, no, they digested his ass a long time ago.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that gator, I'm gonna guess it's probably still alive.
Yeah.
See, because they probably went deep in the swamp to drop that body off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drop it in that swamp. Gators are like, oh yeah, we eating good tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah, that discovery is out there. So if anybody down there in Florida is still looking for Don Lewis, who would be in his 80s, 90s now? Because I think that he was an older gentleman in his 40s and 50s. About 40, that was, we start talking about the 70s when that happened. That was like almost 50 years ago.
I thought that was the 80s when he disappeared.
I thought he disappeared in the 70s. She was a youngster. I could be wrong. I don't know. He's gone. Whatever vacation that he went on, it's been a very, very long
one. Oh no, actually he disappeared in the 90s, in 1997.
It was 97?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was 23 years ago, my bad.
But he was 59. So.
Okay, so yeah, he'd be in his late 80s. Well, no, he'd be, what, 82? Yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. All right, well, at that, yeah. We're going to move on from that, and because we're going to... We're gonna go into our dumbass of the week. It's a special one. Always gotta get that last one in. So the dumbass of the week is a mother in Wisconsin who refuses to let her kids social distance, wear a mask, and tells the school board that practicing physical distancing and wearing masks are pagan rituals. They're satanic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I could see where somebody crazy would believe that.
Yeah, so Heidi Anderson. So if you know Heidi in Wisconsin, run from her. She says her children are not subject to complying with mitigation procedures because they are Christians. And this is during the Board of Education meeting.
Okay.
Pagan satanic ritual.
So that means she's keeping her kids in the house then?
No. Mm-mm. My kid's going to be out there. See, a lot of people are arguing, oh, we got to make these people where they met. I'm like, you know what? It's your right. It's your God-given right. You don't want to wear a mask, you ain't got to wear a mask.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue it. Do your thing. I don't think we should. No. If people don't want to, so you'll have a group of people who wear masks and a group of people who don't. Now, we start going into the, hey, you can't touch me part. So it's like, so there are some daycare centers that are opening, whatnot. Now, and if you're one of those professionals that have to work with, well, essential workers that have to work with young children, whatnot, I mean, I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to have the mask. I'm going to have the shield on the face.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear the whole, I'm going to have the sleeves. I'm going to have my gloves. I'm sorry.
Is so this, basically, so you're coming in with the PPE protective suit.
Oh, I'm protected like a mother, right? So basically, it's all in what you believe. If you're one of them people, you believe that it's fake, then you don't worry about it. But if you believe that it's real, hey. It's a conversation. Huh.
Yeah.
We have a caller. Let's see.
Hey, how you doing?
Caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling from and what can we do for you?
I'm calling from South Carolina, specifically Myrtle Beach.
All right. So you have a question, sir?
Well, I'd like to have a conversation.
Okay.
I myself am a white nationalist, and I'm very intrigued by what you've been talking about. And what I would like to discuss is how white people and black people can come to an understanding without the white liberals who try to hijack your political movements.
Okay. I'm listening.
What I would say is that black people deserve reparations and that black people should be given land in America to have their own government, their own system, their own country. And I think it's a shame that white liberals, who usually are very, very, very wealthy, hijack the movements.
Well, I hear you so far. Because this is an old argument. I mean, Lincoln was a proponent, wrote a couple of books about repatriating
slaves. I don't want to go down that route. I don't believe that blacks should repatriate anywhere. I think that blacks have been instrumental in building America. So I don't think you should repatriate. I think that you deserve American land.
Okay. But then you would say, what land, who are you displacing, and you're ready to fight another civil war behind this?
No, I don't want to fight a civil war. I think there's a lot of great black leaders who could come to the table and discuss what you want and what you need. I'm a white nationalist. I'm a white separatist. But without a doubt, black people deserve reparations. Without a doubt. I'm totally cool with that because we owe that to you. We owe you, I mean, I'm going to be very fair. We owe you like $200 years worth of labor. That's totally cool. And we should pay you that. But what I think should happen is that we separate. We pay you reparations and we separate. We can trade freely. We can do anything freely. But I think that we can't live under the same system. I just think that we can't.
Okay. Still, I understand your argument, and I understand both sides. But at the same time, whose land are you taking to do this? Because one, you have to take land from someone to give to someone.
Okay, that's a. I mean, I understand your argument, but it's very basic. Here's my problem with your argument on land. You throw this argument on white people, especially European expansionists. But you never talk about this when it comes to the Ottomans or the Jews, or the Turks. You never talk about this stuff.
Wait, I didn't say that. I just said, and we'll be clear here. I just said, who are you taking the land from? I didn't say the nationality of who you should take the land from. I posed the question, who do you take the land from? Because whoever you take the land from, I'm guessing they're not going to be happy, whether they be white, Ottoman.
I would ask you, we can get into like some libertarian, non-aggressive, weird economic shit. But I don't want to get into that. But if you can't defend where you live and you can't protect it, you don't own it. So
right.
Dude, America is huge, like way bigger than Europe. We live in a country that is huge. I would ask you, what's your opinions on like the 1619? This is very interesting because it's a new thing. But do you think that blacks, African Americans, I don't mean to call you, I don't want to be rude. I really don't. I don't know what you like to be called. I'll say African Americans. Do you think that you have a right to any land in America?
Well, I'm guessing that the Native Americans would probably have issue with anyone claiming right to land in America.
I would ask you this. Do you agree that the Native Americans that they lived in small tribes and were constantly at war?
Well, I mean, if we use that argument, we can say that Europe was constantly at war with each other in their tribes, and they had a 100-year war. So that war is a constant state of being as humans, apparently.
Exactly.
Doesn't matter what tribe.
Exactly. And we can use the same argument in Africa, which is still happening today. Let's look. I think it's funny. I think it's very funny that, so many kids learn about the Holocaust. We all learn about the Holocaust. But we never learn about the Hutus and the Tutsis in Rwanda. We never learn about genocides in Africa.
Well,
I think that's very...
I think that you would actually have to live there to have learned about it. The American history program, as I would call it, kind of Rome, Greece, Rome falls, Dark Ages, Christopher Columbus discovers what you call America.
This is weird. So like you're not talking about like white expansion, you're talking about like
Well, I actually was when we start talking about history, when we talk about expansion, we hear the words were manifest destiny, and of course all men were created equal, except for y'all. That's how we interpret the document. And then there's a schism where you had your, as you call them, the liberal elites, and then you had your southern elites, conservative elites, whichever way you want to call them. They had a split, they had a war, the liberal elites won and reset, and we're kind of in that schism right now. See, because all these unconstitutional things that your administration are doing, they're not geared toward us. They're actually geared towards you, because all the things that they can do now, the government, that's coming for you, white nationals.
Okay. I would ask you this: are you familiar with like Zimbabwe and Robert Mugabe?
Yeah.
So do you think it's wrong that Africa? Well, not even Africa is a continent, but is it wrong that African countries have expelled white farmers and took their land to give back to Africans? Do you think that's wrong?
Okay, so when we start talking about expansionism. No, hold on. You're asking the question, and I'm going to answer the question. So how did they get there?
Africans in Africa?
How did they get there? Yes, how did they get there? Did they come there and live amongst the people, or did they come there and take the land and throw those people who were actually living on the land? Because you know how you discover a place where millions of people already live?
I'm asking you, the Africans in Africa.
Yeah, the Africans in Africa.
Do they have a right to self-determination?
Yes, they do.
Okay. So do whites in Europe have a right to self-determination?
Oh, they've always predetermined that.
No, that's not what I asked you. Like, how come you can say that, you know, your people have a right, but when it comes to my people, it's like some weird gymnastics?
No, it's no gymnastics. You came on and talked about expansionism, right? White expansionism. And, you know, we're talking about being here. Like, if you talk about, you know, the people who live in Europe, and do they have the right to self-determination? Yeah. At the same time, you talk about if you can't defend your land, you don't deserve to own it. So, and we understand that that's what happened. The Native Americans couldn't defend their position, and the land was taken from them. That's what happened.
Exactly.
And so, conversely, the white people, whoever they were, the settlers in Africa, they could not hold their position, and thus they were expelled. It's the same concept.
That's fair. That's very fair. You know, if you cannot hold your land, you don't own it. So here's
right.
My problem.
Okay, so this will be the last one, because we're going to be needing to go on break here in a little bit. But I would welcome you coming back for us to talk about this on a whole future show where we can dedicate a whole debate to this.
I enjoy talking to you. I think before we go to break, I would sum it up as this: our different races. We are counting on people to speak for us who are usually wealthy, middle class, not even middle class. I mean, you know, I'm a Appalachian kid who worked in the coal mines. And I'm a white nationalist. I'm guessing that you're not, you know, rich. I'm guessing you're not rich.
No.
But I would
say in their group.
I believe that black people, I would give you a hand in solidarity and say that black people deserve reparations. You should be paid for slavery, without a doubt. You deserve your own land. You deserve your own system. Absolutely. I have no problem with that. I have no problem with that. My problem is that you want to attack us for things that everybody else has done, and that's because you're living in a white country and you're the minority. You know,
I don't think that I've ever attacked you.
No, I'm not talking about you personally. I'm talking about like black culture versus white cultures. I think that the Jew who owns all media has turned you against us. Do you know that most slave the slave trade was owned by Jews? The majority of sharecroppers were Jews.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the atrocity that we call slavery and its origins and all the players. I blame all the players. I don't say, oh, just this group. No, everyone who was involved in slavery, there's not a kind word that would ever come from me. So if you would like to come back on the show sometime next week, we can schedule a debate where we can just make this a whole show. How does that sound? All right, so why don't you do this? Email me or put your availability in the chat room. So you can email me smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com, and we'll set up a day either next Tuesday or next Thursday, and we can debate all of this. We can do a whole show on it. How does that sound?
Smooth drama at what?
At smoothdrama.com.
www.smoothdrama.com. You can go into the chat and leave your information there.
Okay, well, that's fine. We can do that. I would like to close out, and I would like to say that, you know, solidarity to all black people. I really appreciate Malcolm X. I really appreciate Huey Newton. I appreciate the 10-point program of the Black Panthers. I believe that blacks deserve self-determination and self-governance, and I think that whites deserve the same. That's my basic argument.
I look forward to having this conversation with you sometime soon. All right? You take care, okay?
Tell me your email one more time.
It is smoothdrama@smoothdrama.com.
Smooth drama, like S, so real quick, like
Sierra. S-M-O-O-T-H, drama, D-R-A-M-A, it's one word.
Okay.
Smooth, at the at symbol, smoothdrama again, .com.
Okay, I'll email you. I look forward to it. And before you hang up, you guys do a good show. I appreciate you for having me on. And this is the type of show that black people should be listening to. You guys do a great show, and I appreciate what you're doing for your people.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So.
Great time.
Look forward to this, of course. And, yeah, we're going to go on break. This is KRS-One, Poisonous Products.
So take it slowly home.
Positive and negative. The 17th is the poetry I give. I can win.
KRS-One, Poisonous Products. 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, school started back this week, everybody knows. Now, in Texas, in California, brown sugar, parents are suing so that kids will actually go into the building. Even though they saw what happened in Georgia and they saw what happened in Mississippi with, you know, a bunch of people testing positive and over 800 people having to go into quarantine. There are people who are suing the state of California and the state of Texas. They're suing the governors in particular. Like, you gonna open these schools
and we just gonna die trying to get it open, or being in it, possibly.
Yeah, well,
I don't know.
But
maybe not though.
No.
I feel like for people who are willing to take that chance, then they should have. But the thing about, there's no teachers that are willing to take that chance. I have not heard one teacher say that they want to open the school.
Well, yeah. Well, the people who want to open the schools won't actually be there. That's kind of the point. You have folks who argue for things that just they don't have to deal with. So,
true.
For example, in Florida, Whitney Reddick, she teaches special education in Jacksonville, Florida. She posted a mock death notice to Facebook.
Like her obituary?
Yeah, she wrote an obituary. Let me read it for you. So, she claims that she died while alone in isolation on a ventilator at a Duval County hospital last week at the age of 33. Even though she shouted from the rooftops, attempted to be unemotional, and educated herself in facts and science, she succumbed to the ignorance of those in power. She returned to work, did her best to handle all the roles placed on her shoulders, educator, COVID, security guard, human shield, firefighter, social worker, nurse, and caregiver, but the workload weakened her and the virus took hold. Whitney was taken from us.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds about right. And so, because we know that there's a few different camps, right? So you have the camp of people who are like, you have your germ, like, oh my God, no, this is, you know, it's the realest thing. And you have folks who are balled up in the corner, me crying, and I can't go outside because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the people who believe that it's real. It may not necessarily be as big as they say it is, but you still practice the protocols. Then you have the people who are like, hell no, I'm not wearing no mask, and I'll shoot you if you try to tell me to wear a mask. Or stab you, run you over, whatever I got to do to protect my right to not wear a mask. Those are the camps. And you have the hypocrites, the people who believe in the virus and won't put themselves necessarily at risk. And so it's like, oh, yeah, our kids can go because the lie that had been put out there, oh, kids can't get COVID.
Mm-hmm. Even though they're saying now that they are getting it and that they are being hospitalized and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we are talking about America. America is what, one of the most unhealthiest countries on earth. Even though we're technically the richest, well, one of the richest, one of the most advanced. I mean, it's a lot of unhealthy people here. So you get a lot of unhealthy people and you get a virus that attacks the unhealthy, boom, you get this issue. So it's interesting to see that people are suing to get their kids to go in there. And then what would happen is, because if I'm not mistaken, I think it was Kansas or Missouri, they were requiring parents to sign a waiver. Saying you can't sue the school district because your kid dies from COVID. And people were taking umbrage to that, right? And it's like, well, you can't have it both ways. Now, if you're confident that this is a fake, then sign the waiver, right?
Exactly.
You know, it's one of those things. You can't have both of them. So you don't want to wear a mask. You don't want your kids to wear a mask. It's satanic rituals, whatever. I know that's just a one-hitter, quitter, crazy case, right? But at the same time, you have people who think like that.
Yeah,
and
who actually believe that they can't, that it's a hoax, yeah.
Right. And so, but then you have the people who, you know, because teachers are understandably nervous. And when you talk about your life is on the line at a job, we already have a dearth of quality teachers. And so when you make a job that is not really a high-paying job in the first place,
Yeah, it's not a job that's in demand even. There's a shortage of teachers for a reason.
Right. So potentially you're making it a deadly choice for not a lot of money. Yeah, folks are a little hesitant. So you have this phenomenon here that is happening. It's very interesting. I mean, to talk about, when we talk about America being unhealthy, Mexico has just agreed to extend the U.S.-Mexico border restrictions, where they don't really want you traveling over.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as someone who has lived in San Diego and understand how many people go over into Mexico and how welcoming they are, because obviously they're trying to, it's a tourist stop, and tourism and tourism money runs a lot of those border cities. And they're like, yeah, we don't want y'all coming over here. We don't even want your money. Because you're dirty.
Kind of
in perspective. That's basically what they're saying. Now, obviously, just travel restrictions so that we can stop the spread of COVID. But they're basically, because there was the reports also where Canadians were they're hunting down Americans who are slipping into Canada. Like, nah, you can't come over here. That's where we're at.
I was going to say, I think most countries have, don't want us to travel to visit or to see, for any reason. I think except for like 3 to 5 countries are like, whatever. But most countries have blocked us from coming over there.
Yeah. The restrictions on non-essential travel is currently set in place for next week, August 21st. And so Mexico is saying, yeah, we can extend that. So we're probably not going to be able to go on your Mexican vacation till maybe 2021.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at
I feel like nobody should be doing it anyway until the curve is flattened even more so. It flattens, it seems like somewhat, and then it rises back up. So, we were under a million cases just a few days ago, but then we were back up to a million again. So, it's all confusing to me. And until it makes some sense, then we all need to just stay where we're at.
Yeah, it's been an interesting 5 months, and as tensions continue to grow everywhere, the tensions dial up another dial. It's like we're at like DEFCON 6. We gonna get DEFCON 7 next month. It gets more interesting as we go along. And while we're talking about DEFCON, we might as well talk about the hater of the week.
Hate. I hate you.
All right. Hater of the week, Uber and Lyft. Because they were ordered by California Superior Court Judge Ethan Shulman to classify their drivers as employees, they're going ballistic. They're like, man, they're independent contractors. They're not employees, even though you work for Uber, you work for Lyft. And here's the funny part. We know why. It's because they don't want to have to offer health benefits.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is the part of corporations and you would think that more people would be upset by this. These corporations are not based in the United States because they don't want to pay you a fair wage.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to cut into their profits. Because we're talking about vacation homes, right?
Yeah, and
we're talking about vacation homes. And this is what we're talking about here. So nobody wants to touch this, but it's you talk about the corporations. I mean, so for example, when Donald Trump issued an order and made a few of the corporations they had to not hire foreign workers. They couldn't bring none over.
Mm-hmm.
They had to hire from inside the job pool here in the United States. Yeah, I was like, I got no arguments against that rule. And he even said, I will offer incentives for you to bring your factories here. But you see, the corporations and people will say that I don't recognize stuff, but the corporations are like, no, because we not, instead of making $20 billion, if we do that, we're only gonna make 10. That's horrible. Because that's what they're talking about here. We have to pay health insurance. Uber has to pay health insurance, Brown Sugar.
And a living wage.
Right. Lyft has to pay. You know what? We're talking about health insurance. That's what we're talking about. You have to pay health insurance. They don't want to do that because, but then we're not going to make all that money. Because that's the corporate game right now. Even though you get these tax breaks and all this other stuff, they don't want to pay that fair wage.
Nope.
You know, that's the argument. It's always been the argument.
Yep.
The wage. So, yeah, Uber and Lyft. Hating ass Uber and Lyft. Say they're not ready to leave California yet, but if they're going to file another appeal by the end of the week. And if it doesn't happen, maybe we'll have to leave California. I'm like, well, carry your ass. I guess we'll have to be forced to catch cabs again.
Yeah. Or the public transportation.
Yes. That right there. That's the argument. It's always been the argument. I mean, we talk about the racial component and whether or not you think that I'm worthy as a human being to be treated like a human being. You know, obviously we know that those battles are out there. But I would say to conservative, liberal, why y'all don't ride that hard on these corporations? That's the question. No, nobody rides hard on these corporations.
Don't they get kickbacks?
Well, see, but once again, you start talking about because we see people come out when they talk about kneeling and all this other stuff. You see people come out and say, hey, that's disrespecting the country, disrespecting the flag. But when Uber and Lyft don't want to pay a fair wage, don't want to give medical insurance, isn't that disrespecting the country? I'm just thinking.
I would think, but I don't know.
I don't know. It just seems like it makes sense to me. Like you would take it like that, but apparently a meal which hurts no one, doesn't touch your pocketbook at all, is way more of an offense than a company who won't even be based here in the United States, or a company who won't pay United States citizens a fair wage or give them medical insurance. Because apparently stuff that really matters, how people eat and being able to take care of themselves, is less important than the optics of a guy saying, hey, or a group of men and women saying, hey, can y'all treat us fairly? Yeah. And on that note, we're going to go on another break, right? This is Showbiz and AG, a party group. Sugar. That was Showbiz and AG, Party Groove, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, that call-in number is 347-826-7435. All right. So, you hear about Ghislaine Brown Sugar?
No, I have not. What's going up with her?
Ghislaine is a little upset. She's a little perturbed. Yeah. She's like, I'm not feeling right. It's not quality conditions in jail.
Oh.
She called it onerous. She said it's onerous. I was like, oh.
So where did she want to be? Where does she think she needs to be?
Now she says she wants to be in Gym Pop.
Oh, okay. So she's ready for that.
No, she's not.
I mean, if she's asking to be there.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things where she goes to Gym Pop and then she can say, I'm close to the virus and maybe I can get released. You know, all of that stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's my thoughts on that.
Okay.
Yeah. She's hurting. She's all
I'm
by
sure.
herself.
I mean, she's in a horrible position.
Is she?
Yeah. Who would want to be in that position? I mean, she put herself in that position, but, you know, still.
Yeah. I guess. I don't... Yeah, they were horrible. And we're never going to know the reach that obviously Epstein was the pimp and she was the madam. And the ring, the sex ring, slavery ring that they had going was worldwide. Financed by banks. I mean, they were on a whole other level of swinging. They were international swingers. Like Prince was talking about an international lover. They were the international swinger.
I can't believe you reached that far back. You reached back to Prince, international lover. See, now
hey, let me
go
take you around the world.
Yes, that you know, now you done spark some memories.
Hey, you know, sometimes you gotta dig deep. Sometimes you gotta dig deep. And so yeah.
I forgot about that one. She's lucky to be alive still. I mean, I would be afraid to go to Gym Pop just because that's an easier way to get killed, right?
She knows
no?
that. Look, if anything, she would pay somebody to nick her so that she say, oh, my life's in danger. I need to be house arrested.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing that she could say that I would say would be valid. I mean, she's alive right now, but I'm guessing because all the paperwork that they've destroyed, all the evidence they've
mm-hmm.
destroyed, I don't think she's going to name names because I'm guessing she's been threatened quite a bit.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, because, I mean, Prince Philip alone would get her murdered, and that's not even here in America, so.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how it goes out, but somehow I'm thinking that it's not going to be that serious.
Well, I mean, she'll, you know, if they don't kill her, she'll get some jail time, you know, which she'll probably serve 18 months, 2 years maybe, and then live her life the way she wants to live it.
I think she's been doing that. So,
well, she's not living her life the way she wants to live it right now. She's in jail.
True.
That's
true.
What I'm saying.
But, I mean, we have to see
little,
which jail is she in.
Time.
Right, which jail is she in? Because you know there's the white collar jail where they don't live that hard. But before we go any further on that, we have to go into Groundhog Day.
That shit happened again? Oh, hell no.
So, today marks 5 months since Breonna Taylor, essential worker, EMT, was murdered by police who were doing the whatever warrant that caused them to go. One, they went to the wrong place and shot and killed her.
While
she slept in her bed, and it, you know, and it's and the galling part is once again, there's no slander that you can put on her, so just don't talk about it at all.
Yeah.
No arrest, anything. It's an EMT, innocent woman. Just at home.
What?
So today marks 5 months, and we'll honor her by giving that moment of silence starting now. Yeah. So, rest in power, Breonna Taylor. You know, whose crime was being at home.
Yeah.
Still no arrest.
And when you think about it, that could have happened to anyone.
Right.
I mean,
no arrest.
Absolutely anyone. Yeah.
Right.
They're not even talking about like investigating it anymore.
Oh no, they're still investigating. It's 5 months later. You just think that it's pretty cut and dry. Let's see. I mean, because we just say we put ourselves. It's a cops episode, right? Me and you, Brown Sugar. We go to the wrong place. Oh, it's supposed to be an apartment. Number 11. Oh, well, 11 looks like 14. Just bust in right there.
I'm not trying to make fun of it, but 11 can't be anything but 11.
Yeah, so 11 looks like 14.
You can say apartment 9, and it looks like, oh, it was broken, so it was a 6.
Right.
You can
so,
even, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. 11 looks like 14. So you bust in, and me and you, we just bust a cap on whoever's in there because they start shooting at us because, hell, we just busted into their place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one, you know, as far as NRA goes, you know, you have the right to defend yourself, right? That's the Second Amendment.
That's
right to bear arms, protect yourself. Because remember, the boyfriend that was shooting, defending her, he got injured and, he shot at the cops and he got arrested for defending for defending his woman.
And himself.
Right, and himself, obviously. But I'm just saying, yeah. that's what he got arrested for. They dropped the charges later because it's ridiculous. You're in the wrong, but I committed a crime. And to investigate something that's pretty cut and dry. Oh, we were serving a warrant to the wrong place, and we killed somebody in the wrong place. And we compounded that by arresting one of the people that we shot and injured in the wrong place, as well as killing someone in the wrong place. I'm like, what else is there? Did I miss something? Did I miss something? Anything?
Is this wrong?
There's detail that I missed.
Yeah.
I mean, because it seems like a pretty cut and dried case. But apparently, it's not. And so... Mm-hmm. That moves us on to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo. So he during a press conference yesterday in Prague in the Czech Republic, he imposed a crackdown in Belarus following the disputed election win of Alexander Lukashenko. So, if anybody's paying attention to international news, Belarus is on fire. Their president declared himself the winner. And the people are like, no. Because apparently nobody in Belarus liked him. And apparently nobody in Belarus voted for him. And they're like, no, there's no way in hell he won the election because none of us liked him or voted for his ass. And so it's been like we've had our protests here. It's been protests there. And so his government has been picking up people and arresting them. And so Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, has, you know, he went over there and, you know, issued a statement saying that was wrong. And so what they did was the people in Belarus were like, well, hey, you know, what about what y'all did in the United States as far as taking people in unmarked cars and arresting them? And so he said that, no, we give due process.
Do we?
Yeah.
Or do they?
Yeah. So here's what he says. When they asked that question, he said, even your question is insulting. The difference between the United States and these authoritarian regimes couldn't be more clear. We have the rule of law. We have the freedom of press. Every one of these people get due process. When we have peaceful protesters, we create the space for them to say their mind, to speak their piece. Contrast that with what happens in an authoritarian regime. Yep. He goes on to say, to even begin to compare them to somehow suggest that America's moral authority is challenged by the amazing work that our police forces, our law enforcement people do all across America. I, frankly, just find the question itself incomprehensible and insulting.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is he trying to say that those things didn't happen?
No. Why are you challenging the moral authority? Even though they're saying we're doing the exact same thing that you did. But they're saying, no, when we arrest them, even though we found out and it was reported that they were threatening folks that if you go out there and protest again, it would not go well for you when your trial came up. But we're not going to talk about that part. Even though we're not even going to talk about the fact that unmarked cars and folks just getting pulled up on and thrown in unmarked vans and cars. Ignore that part. We respect protesters, peaceful protesters.
And that's what I'm saying. So then he's basically saying that those things that we were being accused of didn't happen.
No, he's saying that, hey, what y'all doing is wrong. Right. And what we're doing is right because we have the moral authority.
Oh, I see. Because morality.
Okay.
See, I didn't even think of morality when it was, even though you kept saying it, I didn't connect it.
You didn't connect the dots.
No.
I mean, it's basically saying, it's like you tell your kids, right? Like, hey, this is what you need to do. You gotta do this, you gotta do this, you gotta do this. And they're like, but you don't do it. Nah, listen to what I say, don't watch what I do. Why do you get to do it?
Because
we've grown. I'm the moral authority.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
That's what that is. Don't look at what I do. Listen to what I say.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a heavy statement back in the day, though. That was like words to live by. Like, you better do that. You better do as I say and not as I do. That's a threat.
Yeah, by who, though?
If a parent said that, if your parent said that to you?
Oh, yeah.
Your parents never said that? Oh, okay.
No. No. Do as I say, not as I do? No. We didn't have that problem. Yeah, it's because it wasn't about you do as I do.
Well, you have some upstanding parents then.
Well, no, I'm not saying it like that. Pop, if you're listening, turn off the sound real quick. No, I'm just saying. So the argument was, do as I say, not as I do. I never heard that one. So it was just basically, shut up
and mind your business.
Yeah, if I tell you to do something, you do it, and that's it. It wasn't no
okay.
Yeah, all that extra.
Okay.
Anyway,
I see.
For Miss Brown Sugar, I am Mr. F the N-word. This is another good, smooth drama production. Y'all have a good weekend. Peace.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth.
drummer. Smooth.